Answers Magazine, Volume 8.1, Page 15. Impact. Field Training. My college theology professor is teaching progressive creation, but I can see all the problems with his view because our church's foundations classes taught us to defend the biblical worldview. My friend said evolution is the reason he doesn't believe the Bible, but I was able to answer his objections using what I learned in our church's worldview program. If it weren't for the special worldview emphasis at home and at church, I think my faith would be falling apart right now in my high school theology class. Shyla Allard of Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, hears encouraging comments like this all the time. The church has specialized worldview programs for different age groups. Ninth graders are offered a Christian worldview and doctrine class at church on Sunday nights, which Shyla and 10 others teach. For the past 4 years, it has culminated in a one-week road trip where the young people apply everything they've learned to interpret the professional exhibits at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago. For a wholesome contrast, they also visit the Creation Museum near Cincinnati and analyze the differences. The barrage of evolutionary dogma at the Field Museum can be a bit overwhelming, so Shyla now guides the tour. Shyla and her sister, a school teacher, visited the Field Museum ahead of time and then prepared a study guide to the museum's huge, evolving planet display. Students use the booklet to record their observations and questions while they tour the museum. In Shyla's practiced hands, a Field Museum video on radioisotope dating becomes a springboard for young people to identify the undisclosed evolutionary assumptions that drive these mistaken dating techniques. When they come to a video on natural selection, young people first ask themselves where biblical creationists would agree with the video. The point is that observational science can discover wonderful things about living creatures, which we agree upon. But historical science, which attempts to discover the origin of life and how things happened in the past, depends on unprovable assumptions about the unobserved past. By the Creator's design, creatures can adapt to changing environments, but they don't change into different kinds of creatures. A highlight of the 2012 trip was the chance to compare two different interpretations of Lucy, the famous ape and supposed ancestor of humans. After viewing the Creation Museum's distinctly ape-like Lucy, students could easily see how opposing worldviews influence the Field Museum's exhibit, where Lucy stands upright and has a human face, hands, and feet. That evening, students and teachers gathered at the hotel to discuss their visits to the two museums. Although leaders expected a short debriefing so students could quickly adjourn for their social time in the hotel, the hands kept going up to share their thoughts. Shyla is thrilled to see God grant such understanding. She says, "I was deceived as a young person, and I don't want to see others deceived. I want them to know the truth." What makes an effective training program? The success of any church training program depends ultimately upon the Holy Spirit, but successful programs usually share many qualities. The pastoral staff at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, have incorporated several important elements. Common vision. Grace Church has a passion to develop young adults with strong faith. That common vision energizes and directs the youth trainers. Stage reinforcement. Grace offers focused worldview and doctrine classes at three strategic stages. In fifth and sixth grade, children are beginning to seriously consider fundamental worldview questions. Ninth grade class is the first year of high school, when challenges to kids' faith intensify. High school seniors need an advanced worldview class and refresher just before they head into the workforce or to college. Incentive. Students who complete the class are rewarded with a field trip. Joint hard work. Pastors and laypeople at Grace wrote a curriculum to teach Christian worldview and Bible doctrines. That hard effort needed church members' dedicated participation. Your church may not write its own curriculum, but effective teaching requires hard work from everyone, not just the pastor. High expectations. Students are not given a free ride. Worldview classes include exams. The 9th and 12th grade classes are offered Sunday evenings, at a time when students must decide whether to invest their free time to attend. Practical application. The field trip gives students the opportunity to see opposing worldviews at full strength, safely guided by wise teachers under controlled conditions. Personal sacrifice. Grace Church underwrites almost half of the cost of the road trip. Shiloh made a special trip to Chicago. Effective training requires sacrifices of time and money to God's glory.
The Creator and the Witch Doctor. Pastor David Barnhouse was jarred out of his sleep when the vehicle his friend was driving suddenly veered off the road. But his friend, a local Zambian pastor, hadn't lost control. He was trying to hit an owl. Zambia is officially and culturally a Christian nation. Nonetheless, most Zambians, even those who profess Christ, still cling to animist superstitions, including fear of chameleons and owls, which are considered bad omens. Some instances, like denting a car just to kill an owl, are humorous. But when parents treat their sick children with charms to ward off evil spirits instead of using medicine for malaria, children die. David is going to Zambia to teach people to trust in Christ alone. You can't trust Jesus to escape hell and then run to the witch doctor when you have a problem. By taking the message of creation into the bush, where animism is strongest, he points people to a creator more powerful than any evil spirit. Often, David shows a video about the 6 days of creation and follows with The Last Adam, a 15-minute evangelistic video that moves from scenes of Adam's sin to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. The images carry the message even to those who don't know English. Zambian audiences are riveted. Then David shows the video a second time, pausing occasionally to explain it in the tribal language. This creative missionary also displays live animals to showcase God's power and wisdom. He especially likes chameleons because of the superstitions surrounding them. As David demonstrates the Creator's engineering genius, he doesn't need to attack the witch doctor's false teaching directly. Audiences see for themselves that the truth doesn't match what they've been taught. Interestingly, he doesn't often encounter evolutionary teaching in Zambia. There, the creation message, including its biblical perspective on science, has a different benefit. It frees people from animism, just another form of false religion. David's burden is to reach the lost with the news that Christ the Creator is their Savior. And as Christians, they can abandon their foolish traditions and grow in their knowledge of the truth, found in Christ and His inerrant and authoritative Word. Everywhere in the world, Christians must address deep-seated cultural and religious errors. Scripture is the key that the Holy Spirit uses. When people look at the grand scheme of who God is and understand the truth of His Word, says David Barnhouse, all of a sudden the chameleon they've been so afraid of looks very little.
The Heart of Apologetics by Tim Chaffee. Several years ago, while I was pastoring a church and teaching apologetics at a Christian high school in Wisconsin, I learned an invaluable lesson during a conversation with two Jehovah's Witnesses at my door. Since I had studied their teachings, I felt well prepared to refute their claims. They wanted to start by talking about how much we have in common, but I got right to the point. I believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, and His sacrificial death on the cross was sufficient to pay for all my sins. They, in contrast, believe Jesus is a created being, whose death on a stake was not sufficient to pay for our sins. I refuted their attempts to show that Jesus isn't God by showing them passages where Jesus explicitly claims to be God. For example, John chapter 8, verse 58, or chapter 10, verse 30. I remained gentle and respectful because I sincerely wanted them to know the Savior. Following this encounter, I was fired up because I had won a resounding victory and successfully defended the Christian faith. But did I really win? Not long afterward, it struck me that those Jehovah's Witnesses were sincere, devout, hard-working people, made in God's image, and on their way to a Christless eternity. These poor souls had been deceived by the god of this age, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. They were trying to please God through their works, yet they missed the gospel. I shudder to think about their impending punishment, not just for believing a false gospel, but for misleading others. An ache for lost souls, bound for destruction, should drive our apologetics. We can shoot down arguments and offer reasons for our beliefs, but if we don't lead them to the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ, we have not successfully defended the faith. Salvation does not depend on our arguments, but the Holy Spirit can use our heartfelt words to bring a person to faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. We must be gentle as we humbly and lovingly correct their errors. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. All the while praying that God may grant them repentance. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26.